Good morning, Teachers on Fire. Welcome back to another edition of Saturday Morning Teacher Talk, my opportunity to review some of the top posts on Education X from the last week. I'm talking about posts that warmed your heart, sparked your thinking, or ignited your professional practice, and we're going to get right into them with this post from Howie Waugh. Let's add this one to the stage. He says, "This is my favorite reflection activity. On the first day of school, I have students take a picture with this 'I am a math person' frame, and at the end of the course, I have them reflect on how they have grown in their mathematical abilities. Like, read this reflection," and it really is a tearjerker, as his emoji indicates. I won't read all of it. We've got a picture of a student here with the face covered for privacy reasons. Well done, sir. But I will read this last quote. He says, or she says, "If you had asked me a few months ago if I was a math person, I would have answered nope. But I am proud to say that this answer has forever changed thanks to Howie and my friends in Math 100 this semester." So I really like what Howie is doing here to build this idea that we are all math people. We are all on this learning journey and we are striving forward together. No matter where we are, there's always a next step. And so we are all developing learners in particular in math. And that is especially important because when you read Mindset by Carol Dweck and you think about this idea of growth mindset, fixed mindset, I am smart, I am stupid, these fixed mindsets that we all tend to adopt and students are certainly drawn to, nowhere is the fixed mindset stronger than in math. People decide fairly early, generally speaking, or historically speaking, students and learners of all ages tend to decide, I am a math person or I am not a math person. And I think, unfortunately, many teachers out there have made that decision as well. And in fact, many times they've said so in front of the class. No. So I really like what Howie is doing. Once again, we are all math people. I'll just put his comment up here on the screen again, starting off the course with, "I am a math person." Great stuff. Moving over to Natalie Vardabasso. She can be found at Natabasso on X. She says, "A reminder about our true north of grading reform, accuracy and confidence. Embrace the mantra, accurate grades, confident learners." And that, my friends, is the essence. That is the power. That is the purpose and the reason behind what we're trying to do around assessment. We're trying to strip away all of the extras that have nothing to do with learning. Attitude and effort, friends, should not be reflected in the grade because they do not reflect learning. And so that's what she means, I believe. I'm going to take some liberties here and try to speak for her. Natalie, you correct me if I have this wrong, but that's what she's getting at with accuracy. When I receive a grade and I can be sure of what that grade means, now I have accuracy, now I am empowered, now I can take my next step as a learner. Melissa D at Dean of Math says, "If the assessment doesn't inform your teaching practice or inform your students' learning, there's no point in giving it." I said it. That is a powerful statement. Maybe I'll say it one more time. Listen carefully. If the if the assessment doesn't inform your teaching practice or inform your students' learning, there's no point in giving it. I said it. And so she's getting at this point that assessment should be supporting the next step of learning, wherever that learner might be. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we giving some tests or exams that really don't inform our practice or inform student learning? Maybe they need to be reevaluated. That's a fair question to ask. I know it's a big one in some contexts, maybe a scary one, but hopefully all of the information we find from student assessments is being put to use either by the instructor or the learner or both. Hopefully both. Lynette Earle at MS Lynette EDU. She's coming up here in the next segment right here on the Teachers on Fire podcast. She writes, "Funny how when you take time to get to know students and talk to them about their needs, the IEP is just extra validating info. Students are not just documents, they are humans. I like this point because, yes, our IEPs and all of the documents in the IEP package are valuable. They are helpful, and they give us plenty of good information, but there's nothing quite like getting to know our students themselves, like working with them every day, talking with them, asking them reflective questions, getting to know their strengths and weaknesses, learning what, in some cases, triggers them, what calms them, helping them regulate, helping them focus, helping them take their next step, whatever that looks like. That's where we really do the learning. And so if we've done all of that, if we've taken those correct steps as a teacher, the IEP just adds onto that information. It's just, as she says, confirming. Che Cheney at Mr. C. Cheney says, as a middle school teacher, I've made sure I've modeled and demonstrated how to use AI to support output and support learning. I'm not sure if it's working, but I am sure I am being purposeful, transparent, and open about its realities. I hope in the long run, it will be useful. I think this is an important post because it captures where so many teachers are right now. And I like how Che says vulnerably, he says, I'm not sure it's working. I hope. I mean, you just hear some humble language here. And I think that's really the posture that we want to adopt as educators as we continue to move forward in the AI space. We're trying to show our students that AI tools can support their learning. They can help them. They're not here to do the learning and the thinking for students. That's one distinction that we are all trying to make. And I just appreciate the spirit, Che, of what you've written here, that you're trying to do the right things. You're modeling, you're demonstrating, not sure if it's working, but you're trying to be purposeful, transparent along the journey. So good. And then finally, in the area of technology, we've got Kyle Nemus. He is from the company called Quizzes. And for the podcast listeners, I'm talking about Quizizz, or for my Canadian friends, Quizizzz. We're talking about the company Quizzes. And he writes, have you ever had a live event you missed and you really want to know what happened, but also really don't want to watch a long video? This hack just might let you get the main ideas from that video in a much more fun way. Quizzes, the company, Chrome extension update with video is now live. So I have not installed the Quizzes update. Quizzes company update, or pardon me, the Chrome extension, but I clearly really need to get it because it makes this business of converting YouTube content into a quiz automatically makes it that much easier, just one click away. And I've made videos about the power of this tool, of the Quizzes platform, and the power of the app to quickly convert video content into quiz form. But wow, we really need to move forward with this extension because it's made things even easier, even more straightforward, and I need to have it. So as soon as this broadcast is over, I'm going to add it to my version of Chrome. Thank you, Kyle Nemus. I think of all the edtech companies out there, Quizzes, in my mind, and again, I'm talking Quizzes, the company, has really taken the biggest steps forward this year. I've got my brother in the broadcast. Peter Cavey says, back in the bunker, I see. Well done. Well, I'm not sure what you mean by the bunker, Peter, but I've got the moving background. So for the podcast listeners, we've got some falling snowflakes set over a purple and pink background. It's kind of fun. Hopefully it's showing up correctly on the broadcast, even though it is a little different. So that rounds out my selections of the top posts on Education X from the week, Teachers on Fire. I hope you gained some value there. Again, I'm going to be going live here in a few minutes with Lynette Earle, a BC educator. We're going to be talking UDL, ADST, and assessment, a whole lot of other juicy things as well. So be sure to join me for that if you are able. And to the podcast listeners, let me just give you a heads up on my holiday schedule. So my last publishing date of the year, or last recorded shows, will be next week, December 16th. After that, I am going on an extended Christmas holiday from content creation here at Teachers on Fire. So, number one, thank you so much for faithfully joining me and supporting my work. And number two, I will see you back here at Teachers on Fire on Saturday, January the 13th. That's when I will make my reappearance and things may look a little different. I'm planning on probably dropping this segment of the top posts of the week on Education X, as fun as they are. I'm planning to narrow my focus a little bit in the area of Teachers on Fire and think about how I can use my time in other ways as well. But once again, thank you for engaging on Education X. Thank you for not giving up on Twitter this year. I know there's been this idea that we should all leave the platform, but I find it such a unique place, a unique community for educators. Thank you again, Teachers on Fire audience and listeners. I hope that some of what I'm bringing here and in the interviews is a help to your practice. And I'll see you again right here, same time, same place, next week on the Teachers on Fire podcast. Take care, everyone. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.